Well, good morning to everyone. I missed you last Sunday, last Lord's Day. I left you in very capable hands of Glenn and Brian. I understand that they did a marvelous job in the proclamation of God's truth. While I was up in Slimp, Kentucky, you can get from Slimp, Kentucky, from here. It is, you know, a lot of folks go up to Tennessee, and that's my home state, but I tell you, there's no prettier place than up around Hazard and that area up in there, out in the mountains, and over in the Slimp area, too. Those mountains are just beautiful, and they're just straight up in many places, and people have dug out little places on the hill and put their houses there, but just a beautiful place in which to visit, and the trees are changing color and all of that, and it's just a very nice place. Slimp, the church there in Slimp is at the head of a holler, but then everybody lives either in a holler or at the head or the back of one of those things, and they're just as happy people as you ever meet, and just as fine of people. A lot of folks, you know, when you a lot of times watch the television, they talk about coal miners and that coal area up in there. They pick the worst looking person with missing four front teeth and like they hadn't shaved or bathed in about 6 months. And that's not the way those people look up there. They are beautiful people, and they look just like you and I. Now, I have to admit that they've got a little different accent than, as I told Bill Spears Wednesday night, I told him, I said, Bill, they all sound like you do. And, of course, Bill from up Mac Roberts and up that way. But they send their regards and their love and respect, and Matt and Christina Dixon are up there working with the group there. They drive about 60 to 70 minutes every service. And so we're grateful that they're up there. They're doing a good work. The people are happy. That's where a lot of Matt's people are from. And I got to meet his mother's grandparents, and that was a beautiful experience as well. So, beautiful area if you ever get a chance to go up that way. Spend some time with the good brethren at Slim. I want to talk to you today, and mainly, even though I have something to say to the young people, I'm going to talk to those of us who are older in particular. And what I'm going to talk to us about is very simple, and that is the honoring of your mother and your father. That I think what we have neglected for generations is the importance of honoring our father and mother, those of us after we leave the home. Understand the importance of honoring our mother and our father while we're there. But I'm afraid in some situations it's almost as if when we leave the home it's out of sight and out of mind. And as you look scattered throughout this nation in which we live, we lost something when we lost the extended family. I can remember when families used to live, and there was always a grandmother or a grandfather present. They had the wisdom and the maturity that would help a lot of folks get through a lot of difficult times. But in a lot of ways, I'm afraid that we have failed to honor and to love our mother and father after we leave home. In fact, I think we get so wrapped up in the rearing of our own children that we fail to remember those who brought us into the world. In Ephesians chapter 6, there beginning with verse 1, it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord." Now I want us to turn over to Psalms chapter 127, and in that reading I'd like for us to look at verses 3 through 5. Psalms 127, verse 3 through 5. "Behold, children are heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward, like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies. in the gate. The inspired word of God in Ephesians chapter 6 tells us as children that we are to honor our father and our mother. And this, of course, is going to be, as I said earlier, this is going to be the theme of the hour. And it is, in particular, though I'm going to say something to those who are younger, in particular, it is to those of you who are seated in this audience who still have a mother or a father or both still living, or even if they're not living, there is a sense in which you are to continue to honor and to respect them though they have already have left you. I'm afraid that in our society that we are living in what has often been called a child society, where the child is number one. As soon as that child is born, he is told or she is told, "Aren't you so sweet?" We even talk baby talk to them and say, "You're number one in my life. Oh, you're going to get all my attention. Isn't he cute? Isn't he great? Isn't he this? Isn't he that?" And so a child, if not careful, is reared in an atmosphere that I am number one, and almost with the idea that I will always be number one. There has been also a period of time when parents have been blamed for everything that a child does. Let me tell you, after a child reaches a certain age, he or she is responsible for everything that they do. Now, we've got several high school students, several seniors and juniors in high school here, let me tell you. And some who are in grade school and what have you, that have reached a point in life when you know what is right or wrong. And many of you have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ already. You are responsible for the sins that are going to be conducted in your life. You cannot point the finger backward and say, "Mama or Daddy or anybody else." You are who you are. You chose to be who you are, and therefore you need to take the blame. Again, I do not like to hear godly parents being blamed for ungodly children. Children are excused sometimes by saying, "Well, they're just sowing a few wild oats." It's interesting sometimes that parents, after that kid is 30 and 40 years of age, that they're still saying, "Well, my son, my daughter, you know, they'll get through this. They're just sowing a few wild oats." Well, in Galatians chapter 6, and there verse 7 and 8, it says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. He who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." Sowing, living, making choices. And every day that we live, we make choices. There's no telling how many choices that you have already made this very morning. One of them was to get up. And then you made the decision as after you got up what you were going to do. If you were going to have breakfast or not have breakfast, whether you were going to take a shower or say, "Well, I took one 3 weeks ago." You know, you make decisions. You decided whether or not you were going to come to Bible study or not come to Bible study. You'll make a decision as to whether you'll come back this afternoon or not come back. Decisions are just the way of life, and we're going to have to answer for every one of them. You know, need to keep in mind, trying to blame parents for what happened in our life when we were younger just doesn't fly. You know, it's time for us to stand on our own two feet and say, "I am the man, I am the woman, mom and dad." I have never met a mother and dad who made the, except one. I met a family a couple of years ago that said, "I would raise my children the same way again, because I don't think I made any mistakes with my children." Now, I know all of you in here, maybe not the visitors completely, but I know that I would not make that statement. There are things that I would have changed because of being a little more mature. Now, hopefully, I'd take that maturity back if I wanted to raise them again. But all people make mistakes, even parents, even grandparents, believe it or not. There are at least four things that are stated in Ephesians chapter 6 that are noteworthy. One is that the reason that children should obey and honor their parents. Now keep in mind, I'm speaking to you who are adults as well as those who are younger. That we are to honor and respect our parents because it is morally right. It is a command of God. It is the first commandment with promise. And it is a promise that offers long life and happiness, all of which is set forth in our text. That if you want to really live a long and useful life, the life that God would have you to live, then you honor your parents when you're at home. You honor them when you leave that home. What does it mean to honor? What does it mean to show respect for? Is this a permanent duty? Am I permanently to be involved with honoring my parents? I think the answer to that is yes. I don't think there's ever a time in which a child can stand up, be it male or female, stand up and say, I no longer need to honor you. I no longer need to respect you. I understand that children grow up, hopefully become responsible, and move out on their own and stand on their own two feet. But I do not believe that's ever a time in which you cannot honor and respect your parents. I want us to look at several faults. One is, we need to learn to love our parents. I said, learn to love your parents. A lot of people don't know how to love. Even if there was not a command from God, love is an instinctive feeling. You know, you look at all the animal world in itself, and you just watch the animals, normally speaking, and you watch the animals as they interact. Now, they may be reacting through instinct, but one of the things that you can see is that they have a close connection in that animal world. But we as children of God and we as creatures of God, we who have been made in the image of God, we are to love our parents. And it is interesting when you speak of the fall of the Gentile nation. In Romans 1 and there verse 30, one of the things that it spoke of is that they were disobedient to parents. In Colossians chapter 3 and there verse 20, it says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is the will, or for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. In 2 Timothy 3 and there verse 2, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. I really think that that is tending to go more towards those who are older in years, those who are a little older than just youngsters that have become that way. That we feel no responsibility whatsoever to our parents in reference to if they ask us to do. I told my father this a number of years ago, and I love my father, though he's gone. I says, Dad, I will do anything you ask me to do as long as it does not interfere with my headship with my family. I told that to my mother and my father. I believed I owed him that. I call that respect. I call that love. I call that honor. And we had a time or two where we had to have a discussion as to who was in charge under certain circumstances. But Dad understood that he could call upon me at any time. And as long as it didn't go against something that needed to be done for Cynthia and my two children, that I'd be there if it was humanly possible. I think that's the way God intended it to be. For, let's face it, if you don't show your children how to honor your parents, how in the world are they going to honor you? It's like the story goes that I've heard for years and years of this man and woman looking for an old age home for Grandpa. And they were going from place to place and they were asking questions about how do you like it, what does it look like, and the young boy from the back spoke up and said, is this where I'm supposed to take you when you get old? They were teaching that child a lesson, whether they understood it or not. Is this the way that I'm supposed to interact with you when you get older? One of the things that I have learned since I've gotten older is that there are a lot of things that I could have done for mother and dad that I didn't do when I could have done it and should have done it. Because I didn't take the time to love them or to honor them as I needed to. And those of us who've already lost our parents, we can say that not with any joy in our hearts, but a little sadness there. Because you see, I can't do it now. But there was a time in which I could. And I chose not to. One thing you need to learn about love is that love is a taught emotion. In Titus chapter 2 and there verse 3 and 4, it says, "The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderous, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may admonish the young woman to love their husband and to love their children." I think one of the reasons that we've gotten into the condition in which we're in today in this nation is that the old have failed to teach the younger how it is to love. Now, we understand the erotic type love. That seems to be what our nation is built on. Just when you see somebody, "Woo! Don't she look good? Or doesn't he look fine?" That's a very small portion when it comes to the love of the Scripture. The love of the Scripture is an agape kind of love. And that's the kind of love that you need to have, as well as the other kinds as well. Emotional and all that, going towards one's parent. But you can become so involved with your children that you fail to love that parent as you need to love. I'm convinced there's some men and some women who have never learned to love each other. Have never learned what love is all about. And because they have never learned it, then they have not passed it on to their children. And so you end up in certain families where love is never really expressed as God intended it to be expressed. When children grow up and are grown, there's nothing more. Now pay attention. There's nothing more. It may be some, but not as much in some areas. There's nothing more than that parent wanting to know still that that child loves them, deeply loves them. And when that child denies that parent of that love, that old white-haired man or woman hurts, and hurts desperately. I've, in my lifetime, have been in many a nursing home. One couple in particular that I remember, and I went to the owner of the nursing home. I've known this woman for years, as sweet as she could be. And I said, "What's wrong with her?" You know what he said? "Nothing." I said, "She's in bed." He said, "David, her children never come. She's dying of loneliness and heartbreak." She lived another 3 or 4 weeks after that. You see, she had raised children, she and her husband. She had adopted 2 children. Put them through school. One was a lawyer, I forget what the other one was, but it's on par of having a job similar to that. Given all their time and all their efforts. You would have thought that that wouldn't be the way. Children often offer the excuse, "They know I love them." Foolish statement. No, they don't. No, they don't. They know you love them when you express that love, when you show that love. Just to say they know I love them, that's a very poor and comfortless type of love. Somebody says, "When's the last time you talked to your mama?" "Oh, I talked to her 3 or 4 months ago." "How's she doing?" "Oh, she's all right." "How do you know that?" "How's your grandmother? How's your grandfather?" "Well, you know, it's been about a year since I've seen them." And yet you claim to be raising your children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord when you fail to honor and love the parent that brought you into the world? How can we do that? How can we do that? We honor our parents by the way in which we live our lives. I've listened time and time again as parents have cried because the good name that they had was being destroyed by those who were their older children in a lot of ways. You show honor to your parents by having respect for the name which they gave you and for the life that they also have given to you. When parents ask us to do something, as I said earlier, we ought to try to do our best to get the job done, for that's in harmony with the will of God. The only time that you shouldn't listen to the instructions of your parents is when they ask you to do something that is evil. And beloved, I don't believe, especially with this group here, that your parents would ever ask you to do something that was sinful and against God. If it is, then you tell them that and show them the Scripture and help them with it. Hearken unto your father that begat you. Proverbs 23 and there verse 22. And despise not your mother when she is old. Leviticus 19 verse 32. You shall rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man. Whether you want to admit it or not, younger parents and such like, your mom and daddy got to where they are because of life, because of circumstances. There are things that they would tell you not to do because they did it and it destroyed too much and gave them baggage that they wish that they didn't have to carry. And they want you to have less baggage as you live and as you bring your children up. Time and fate may move us from our original home and saddle us with multiple responsibilities. But let me tell you something. For the child that is always wanting to go on vacation but never going to see mom and daddy, you're in sin. When you want to go to the mountains, when you want to go to the beaches, when you want to go to this game or that game and everything is around you and you never give thought to what the parents need, then you're in sin. You need to think about that. Time and space may keep us apart, but we must never become so absorbed in our life and even the raising of our children that we forget that we are a child. We are a child of someone, and that parent needs to hear from their child. I ask you this morning that before this day is over, that you locate your mom and dad, for those of you who can, and you tell them how much you love them and how soon you're going to come and continue to be a part of their life. Showing of gratitude. There comes a time in our life when the parents' responsibilities are huge, where they have to see to almost everything that that child needs: feeding, clothing, bathing, doctor's visits, teaching you how to learn to so many different areas in life. Find out what you're interested in and then do everything that they humanly possible can do in reference to seeing to it that you get to play ball or you get to play musical instruments or you get to play golf, you get to ride horses, you get to just whatever it might be, that your interest is theirs. And yes, sacrificing time and time again. But there comes a time somewhere in life where the roles reverse. Now, parents don't want to be treated like children. When I bought my chainsaw a couple of years ago to work down on the little land I got, my son said, "What?" I said, "Chainsaw. You know that thing that you put against a tree and cut it down?" He said, "Daddy, be careful. You'll cut your leg off." I appreciate his concern. I know that thing will cut my leg off. That's why I watch what I'm doing. But I wanted to say, and you'll be 40 this next year, which seems to be impossible. I wanted to say, son, when was the last time you touched a chainsaw? And the truth of the matter is, as far as I know, he's never touched one. It'd take him a while to learn how to operate it. We're not dumb. Parents are not dumb. We're not stupid. We're not the old man or the old woman. We're not living in whatever century you want to put us back in. We're living in the now. We understand what responsibilities that you have as a parent. All we want is for you to understand that when we were parents, we had those same concerns, and we took pretty good care of you. And that's why you are where you are today, because we loved you and saw to your needs. In 2 Corinthians 12 and 14, the Apostle Paul wrote, "Behold, the third time I come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you. For children ought not to lay up for the parents, but parents for the children." Most parents don't want the children to have to take care of them. They don't want their children even to feel obligated to them in that sense of the term. But there comes a time when they have no choice. Comes no time. Comes a time when their wishes are not going to be met, and you do have to step in. There's a great responsibility for the child in reference to his parent to requite them, to repay them. There comes a time when we will reach the point where we are almost entirely helpless. It's not the government's job to take care of us. It's not the children. I mean, it's not the church's responsibility to take care of us as we get older. It is our children's responsibilities. Children, let me tell you something to all of us. Children of all ages, don't wait until your parent dies and you stand over his casket or her casket and say, "I wished I had been there for you." Wake up. Do it while they need it. Mother used to tell me years ago, she said, "Honey," she had the sweetest way of saying honey. Mothers do that. And daddies do too. Honey. I still call that 40-year-old man honey. He'll have to live with that. I think he likes it still. Mother said, "Honey, give me flowers while I'm alive so I can see them. Give me your time while I'm alive so that I can enjoy you. Bring my children home." She's talking about her grandchildren. "You come home first. Bring all the rest of them with you. I need them." In 1 Timothy 5 and there verse 4, "But if a widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents." Now, that's not speaking to young children. That's teaching, that's talking about adult children. Those who are older in years, and to requite your parents. Why? For that is good and acceptable in the sight of God. And then in verse 8, let's turn there. Open your Bibles to this. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and there verse 8. "But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." A child who looks back and does not requite his parents out of love, out of honor, and out of gratitude is worse than an infidel and has denied the faith. You need to understand the importance of taking care and loving, being around those who gave you life. You may grow up, leave home, marry, have children of your own. And you'll want to love them and care for them in every good way. But as strange as it might seem, there's plenty of room for mom and dad. Plenty of room left over for your parents in that you can love them, you can honor them, and you can show gratitude. And let me tell you, it still is the first command with promise. Children, obey your parent in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. I've lived for some almost 66 years, and this is the first time in the 40-something years that I've been preaching that I have spoken directly to the older children. I would say it's 40 years late in coming. You who have parents alive, care for them. You have time. If you don't have time, you're too busy and you're sinning. You have time to see to their needs. Because let me tell you, I'd love to be able to see to the needs of my mom and dad on this day. I can't. When your parents leave you, be able to say, Lord, thank you for my parents. Thank you for all that they have done and all they mean to me. Thank you, Father, that I've had the opportunity to, before they left this life, to show them that love, to show them that appreciation, to show them that honor. Get a hold of them quickly, because life leaves here so quickly. God sent His Son. His name is Jesus. He sent His Son into the world to save miserable men and women like us, to save us from our sins. And at the same time, not only to save us from our sins, but to give us direction and how we ought to live. He calls upon us, because of the giving of that Son, that we would read His book and learn His words and apply it in our life. The application in particular right now is that you might become a child of God so that your sins might be washed away. You can do that by repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in Christ, be buried with Him, and having your sins washed away. Now you're a child of God. You've shown your appreciation to the Creator. Now we speak to us who are Christians. If you have not been the kind of child that you needed to be for your parents, be they young or older, repent. Oh, sometimes we call upon those who have committed adultery, who have stolen, who have, you name it. If you haven't been the child that you needed to be to your parent, you need to ask their forgiveness and God's too. Begin being the child that has grown up and is leading their children to heaven. Think of that, beloved, while we stand and as we sing.